All right, we're going to be in several places in 2 Samuel chapter 6, which you'll remember from last week contains the account of King David bringing the Ark of God into the city of Jerusalem. When we look at the events, those events that we saw last week, we see that God cannot be manipulated. And he is not a sociological construct that men have invented to hold a nation together. He is not a soft-hearted grandfather. He's a real person. He is fierce. He looks into the heart of every man. There's not a person in the universe except his son, Jesus Christ, who can endure the omniscient and pure gaze of God. And we should all be very careful around God. God is ultimately on his own side. He is, in fact, extremely dangerous. Those who have seen and experienced God as he revealed himself in the account of Uzzah bringing up the Ark of God know their real place in the universe. Now you'll remember what happened. I think the Ark was in Hebron. I think so. And David says, we want the Ark in the city of my new city. He just conquered all the Jebusites, and let's put it there on this high mountain that is known to us today as Zion. And as he did this, they put the Ark on an ox cart, and the ox cart, they're in a field, and the ox cart tilted a bit, and Uzzah reached out and steadied the ark. God strikes. It says God was angry at Uzzah for doing that, and he strikes him dead. Well, that's with the events, and we'll carry on from there. Tonight, sermon number two, we're going to look at the events around that and look at the emotions and the feelings of the people that were there. And as we do, I think we'll see a wide variety of human responses at what occurred. And I think we may see something of ourselves in what happened. And the first emotion that was experienced among the people there, it says in 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 5, and David and all the house of Israel were dancing for joy before the Lord with boldness, with songs, with all kinds of stringed instruments made of fir wood, with lyres and harps and tambourines, castanets and cymbals. And we just sang that. That was so good. Who wrote that song, Steve? Let's mention his name. Was it David? No.
David Jackson.
Was that from King David? Anyway, we just sang that just a while ago. It's a wonderful, wonderful song. And they were, first thing we need to see that there was joy there that day. And I think that we see real, authentic, religious fervor and excitement. Now, one version says that they were playing before the Lord. I think the translation is suggestive, for it captures something of the reality of the true experience of worship before God. This thought of playing. Have you ever watched children play? I have the pleasure of watching children play all the time. Maybe that's a stretch, a lot. And when they play, they lose all awareness of themselves and lose themselves in the real joy and delight of playing. There are times in our walk with God when we, in the sheer joy and jubilation of knowing Him, lay self aside. And that is a glorious experience. This is a good and healthy thing. In our text, we see not a hint of criticism of David and the people of God concerning their celebration before the Lord. That was not the problem that day. In fact, when Michael later on, David's wife, daughter of King Saul, criticizes David for his religious fervor, David is seen to have rightly defended his emotional celebration before God. He says flatly to her, "I will celebrate before God." The joyful worship of God is encouraged everywhere in Scripture. David said in Psalm 16, verse 11, "Thy presence is in thy presence is the fullness of joy. In thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." Psalm 30, verses 4 through 5 reads, "Sing praises to the Lord, O you his godly ones. Give thanks to his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment. His favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning." Let us never forget that joy lies at the heart of Christian experience. Galatians, what's it say? Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. Peter will say of the believers experienced in Christ, this 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7, "Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. Though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him. You greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory." Now, I'd like to have been in one of Peter's meetings when that all was going on. Joy inexpressible, full of glory. Jude will say later that there's coming a day for each believer when we will stand in the presence of God blameless with great joy. The book of Acts says in Acts chapter 13, verse 52, says that in the face of opposition, the New Testament disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Jude says that he is able to keep us from stumbling and to make us stand in his presence. I'm telling you, I'm looking forward to that day with great joy. We will experience joy in perfection in heaven. We will experience a joy that is perfect. And I tell you, we will lose ourselves in God. But we can know spiritual joy, maybe just in part, here and now. True religious awakening is to lose all of awareness of oneself in the real joy and delight before God. I have a friend that said to me several weeks ago that they longed for the worship and the joy they once had. That longing will have its fulfillment. It will come again. Now, another emotion that happened on this day was anger. These things don't really go together necessarily, it doesn't seem like, but they are there. They're here. It says, David became angry because the Lord's outburst against Uzzah. And that place is called Perez Uzzah to this day. God broke out against Uzzah and killed him. Now, most of us, I know I'm going to go even better. Maybe I should stick with most. I don't know. Most of us react negatively when our wills and desires are crossed. What do you think? Most of us or all of us in this room? So it's not surprising that some of us react in anger when God intervenes in our life. Genesis 4, chapter 4, verse 6 and 7 tells us the same story of David's experience. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will your countenance not be lifted up? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching right at the door and its desires for you. You must master it." Cain was furious, angry at God for not accepting his sacrifice. There's very real little difference between what happened between Cain and David. Except David quickly repents when he is called up short by God. Cain did not. The events of Cain's life and David's life were written for our warning and our instruction. And we should be careful to look into our hearts with watchfulness that there might be some root of bitterness in us. For the most part, we become angry with God because we think we deserve better treatment than we're receiving. The next emotion here is fear. David was afraid of Yahweh on that day, verse 9 of 2 Samuel chapter 6. And he said, "How can the ark of God come unto me?" Now, we said a lot about the fear of the Lord last week, and we won't repeat it. But let me say only this. Our God is a consuming fire. And if we are to serve Him, we must do it with reverence and awe. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 29. The next emotion, we'll leave fear beside after just that little bit. The next emotion experienced here was David's discouragement. David says, "How can the ark of the Lord come to me?" And David was unwilling to move the ark of the Lord into the city of David with him. But David took it aside to the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. Now, when God struck Uzzah, David was terrified and gave up on his first intentions. Discouragement set in. When God calls us up short, we must not be disheartened and crushed. He's not finished with us. Yet for a time, David gave up the whole idea of bringing the ark into Jerusalem. If you look into the secret places of your heart, there are times when discouragement will cause you to give up seeking the blessings of God. Discouragement is the fleshly, sinful response to the discipline of God. Discouragement is the fleshly, sinful response to the discipline of God. If you find discouragement in your heart, I can say to you, you're in good company. David was discouraged. But God was not through with David, and He's not through with us. Now, another emotion experienced in these events was spiritual hunger. Now, it was told King David, saying, "The Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him on the account of the ark of God." You will note here that the antidote to David's discouragement was his seeing the blessings of God on the house of Obed-Edom, where the ark was. I like this. Sometimes God's blessing is in other people's lives, inspire us to seek God as well. You say to yourself, in a lot of scripture and church history, God blesses sinners. Maybe He'll bless me. When the prodigal son returned to his father, the son was wholeheartedly greeted with open arms. He's blessed in Obed-Edom. Let's try again. He hungered for God. Next emotion here is resolve. So they brought in the ark of Yahweh and set it in its place in the midst of the tent which David had stretched out for it. And David caused to go up ascending sacrifices before Yahweh and peace offerings. And you'll remember the story. They took a few steps and they must have killed a lot of cows and sacrifices. And they were very careful. And you'll remember that he then at this point goes back to the teachings of Moses, to the writings, and he brought Moses and brought the ark back to Jerusalem. We referred to those last week. The whole affair of the ark's cart in this instance, it's very much like, who do you think? The Philistines. You want to behave like a Philistine? Ignore the Bible. The Philistines put the ark on the ox cart and sent it off. David would have been shocked to be charged with behaving like a Philistine. But he was. But here David resolves, no, we're going to do this right. And I want the blessings of God. And he resolved to do it. The best thing to do if we're to serve God is to become a faithful reader of the Scripture and determine that the Scripture is the final authority in all matters of belief and action. From the tragic events of Uzzah, David learned wisdom, and from there he began afresh with great resolve to serve his God and have for himself God's blessings. Another response to this thing, and the last one, I think. Yep, the last one is disgust. After all this, he gets the Ark of God back in Jerusalem. Not back in Jerusalem. He gets it to Jerusalem and to Mount Zion. Sets up the tent, and it says this: Then came forth Michal, Saul's daughter, to meet David. And by the way, David is dancing and jumping and happy. He's playing before God. We mentioned singing dancing a while ago, didn't we? We sang dancing. Yeah. I know I'm not really, if y'all start dancing, I'm be nervous about it, so don't. But anyway, David was dancing before the Lord, very Hebrew. And this is what she says. How honored today was the king of Israel in disrobing himself in the sight of the handmaids of his servants, as one of the low people might disrobe himself. And David said to Michal, Before Yahweh I have danced, blessed be Yahweh who had made a choice of me above thy father and above all his house, putting me in charge as leader of the people of the Lord in Israel. Now, David's dancing, and he's just in a simple ephod. He's just normal, you know, kind of, well, he wasn't in kingly robes. It says, let's see if I can find, he was humbling himself. Therefore, I will dance before Yahweh and make myself yet more lightly esteemed than this, and become lowly in my own eyes. Nevertheless, with the handmaids whom thou hast spoken with them, I shall be honored. Therefore, Michal, Saul's daughter, had no child unto that day, until the day of her death. And we must settle it. As we believers come, there will come times when we will be looked on with disgust. People will look, if you're going to serve God, people will look on you with disgust somewhere along the line. They'll scoff at you. They'll be disgusted with you. They'll think you're a fool. Michael did that day of David. The important thing was that David stayed true to his God. Before Yahweh, I will dance. Blessed be Yahweh. Note here that the persecution arose from David's own family. I think I'm right in saying this, and you may be shocked when I tell you this. I can't remember a single time in Scripture where it mentions a wife loving her husband, except Michael. You hunt it up. Now that's going to be it's a hard thing to hunt up a negative like that. But you hunt it up. I can't think of another time, a single time. Michael loved David at one point, but mere human affection disappeared when she saw David dancing before the Lord. When it comes down to it, both of these two people made a choice. Somewhere in Michael's life, she had turned against God. But David was determined to stay true to God in spite of family resistance. If anyone comes to me, Jesus said, and does not hate his own father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Luke 14. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which one of you, when he wants to build a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who observe it begin to ridicule him, saying, "This man began to build, but was not able to finish." The willingness to follow Christ, whether anyone goes with us or not, is foundational to our spiritual experience. Have you decided to follow Jesus, though none go with you? Have you ever sang those words? There are times when this must be in us. We will at times experience the disgust of our fellow man. There's all kinds of experiences there on that day, and these are just a few of them. Let's pray. Father, when we look in Scripture, we look as into a mirror, and we often see ourselves. We see ourselves in these events. But Father, we're encouraged that you put into the hearts of your people to worship you. We long for those days, Father, again in the earth, when hymnals are written, songs are written, and there's joy inexpressible, full of glory. Father, we pray that we would take the warnings of and the encouragement from these scriptures. Give us a heart that hungers like David. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.